Everyone, thank you so much for the opportunity. I'm really looking forward to this. The when we were an interesting little aside as we get started, when we got given this task, Mark sent out a great email, shoot, 8 weeks or so ago about this new series called Foolproof, the study of Proverbs, as led by King Solomon. And I was excited. And he sent it out in the form of almost like a calendar where you get to pick your week. And all I did, keep in mind, anyone who saw my testimonial a few weeks ago or a number of actually months ago knows I'm kind of new to this. So all I did was kind of cross-reference the weeks to like what I had available and how much time I could prepare. So week one was open. I said, let me take that. Mark says, nope, I got that one. So the next one was week two. Put in for that. No, that was Daniel DeCristo. Week three was Bob Voyles. I got shut down there. Week four was Mark again. And then week five, bang, I get a hit. All right, so I got to go again. I'm new. I go to week five Proverbs and look at the title, drum roll, Warning Against Adultery. Okie dokie. Okay, I can maybe see why that one was open. But in seriousness, as believers of God and in Jesus Christ, we know God has a plan for us, and I think he wanted me to have this topic for everyone. And using God's words, King Solomon gives us a warning about the perils of adultery in Proverbs 5. And I want to highlight verses 8 through 10 because they hit particularly home for me. Keep to a path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house, lest you lose your honor to others and your dignity to one who is cruel. These strangers feast on your wealth and your toil enrich the house of another. Proverbs 5, 8 through 10. Just so you know, toil, I had to look this up, I'm not that smart, is your hard work. Your hard work enriching the house of another. Here's my story. Are my tables heard this? I alluded to this in my testimonial a couple few months back that I was living a bad life before I not only came to Jesus Christ, before most notably came to Friday Morning Men's Fellowship in a much deeper way. And the culmination of that lifestyle was what I affectionately call the Columbia, South Carolina story. I was traveling, I was in sales. My biggest client was Merrill Lynch. I'm going to Columbia, South Carolina. On a morning, I have a lunch meeting there. And I show up a little bit early. I need to get money. My dad always said, you got to have a little bit of money in your pocket in case, whatever. Go to the money machine. Nope. It gives some card error. Well, as luck would have it, the bank branch was right there. I just walked in. And sure enough, insufficient funds. I'm looking face to face to someone. This is not an error. No money. So think about that just for a minute. And by the way, Bobby dropped his age on us when we started this call. So to make it even more concrete, I was exactly Bobby's age when this happened. Sitting there with no money, quite literally no money. And I have to literally cancel a meeting with Merrill Lynch, one of my biggest clients. How am I going to take someone to lunch? I don't have any money. Have to cancel a meeting with a top client. And at this point, I'm in a quandary to the point where I have to realize, how the heck am I even going to get home? I have to do the gas tank challenge. My parents live in Hilton Head, South Carolina. I was closer to their house than to get back to Atlanta. I tuck tail and I actually go to my parents for a couple of days until I got paid on a Friday. See, I was effectively, as we would think today, like cash rich. I was in sales, bigger commissions. I got paid every couple of weeks and had a big check coming. And that happened. But having to go into that level of humility and to drive and hang out with my parents, couldn't even tell them the story, as if I just popped in. You may ask yourself, what does that have to do with adultery? It has everything to do with adultery because that's where godless life leads you. That's where selfishness leads you. I told you that was the dynamic. That simply was the culminate. That was the bottom. That is one's bottom. That's where it leads you. And that was what was happening to me, and that's where I ended up. Again, God through Solomon highlights this in Proverbs 5:3-5. For the lips of the adulterous woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. I was in the grave. That was it. At this low moment, you know, of selfish living, you know, not only did I not respect God, I thought I was God. I did not fear God. Let me let that hang for a minute. I did not fear God. In this study of wisdom, actually, when you go back to Proverbs 1, the foundation of wisdom, the humility of it, which is part of it, the fear, Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I was the fool. I thought I was God. I was above it. And yet God in his infinite wisdom has a great way of humbling us. And man, did he do it for me. And as the story, I certainly proved out his wisdom. The recognition that God is in charge is tough for us as men, as alpha males, as Bobby likes to say, we're leaders. That's the whole point of being here. And it's hard for us. Bob Voiles talked about this a couple weeks ago very, very eloquently when he said in his talking about his own business, when he kind of made the mistake of thinking that he was in charge, that he was responsible for all the greatness that he had created in his business. And he humbly finally recognized that he wasn't. And he highlighted one of his favorite verses. It's certainly one of mine. And it's Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Gentlemen, the summary here in this first part is God is in control. It's not us. Gentlemen, this is serious stuff. I know, you know, you could just think you could end it there. Adultery, don't do it. Well, I want you to think of the attention it's paid to in the Bible and in God's word. Adultery is mentioned 52 times throughout the Bible, and in fact, several other times in Proverbs. I don't say this to be preachy. I say this because it's the word of God, and, you know, God works this into our lives through Solomon. And just think for a minute about the genius of God's plan here. Solomon's father, David, this was his downfall, almost perfect, almost Jesus Christ-like, as we could say. But this was David's downfall, and Solomon, think about it, had to live it. After all, Solomon's mother is Bathsheba, not David's first wife. He effectively lived it himself. And if you think about God's plan, about who he teaches these messages to us, that whole concept of wisdom and knowledge and the experience that comes with knowledge and ultimately turning into wisdom, he uses Solomon. And I can't help but think of Solomon's own thoughts of having effectively lived through the experience of adultery, that it actually influenced his big ask of God when he became king. And in 2 Chronicles, it comes apparent, and it also talks about what leadership is, and here it is, 2 Chronicles 7-8. That night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask for whatever you want me to give you. And Solomon answered God, you have shown great kindness to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, Lord, let me promise to my father David to be confirmed. For you made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust on the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may, keyword, lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours. That is leadership. Selflessness. He could have asked for anything. He asked for the humility, the wisdom of being able to lead. A couple key things I want to highlight. He mentions, David, my father, you've been kind to my father. He knew of the sin of his father, and he knew how God treated him. He lived it. God knew that he lived it. And when he ultimately came upon him to relay it to us through Proverbs, thought that was interesting. But that leadership of asking for wisdom is just incredible. And as we know, God gave him more because his ask wasn't more. And as we think of ourselves in our life about what leadership is, often it's service. I want to make this transition here at this point to leadership and Friday morning men's fellowship. And really, it's kind of a binary audience. So let's just cut right to it. We have the singles and we have the marrieds. And to the singles, I say this, is Christopher White, when we were doing our fishing expedition, remember he gave a great talk on restraint when we were studying the book Character Still Counts by James Merritt. And he talked about it in Pete Rose and letting his life get away from him through gambling and other things. But one of the things, if you remember, he talked to the group of singles and talked about, you know, living your life in your dynamic with women and so forth, and being, you know, remembering that God is watching, and restraint. And I can't help but think, I'm not that old, and I remember when I was single, and I remember in the working world and trying to be a leader, when you're out with your company or in these settings, have a drink and go home. Maybe don't flirt with the colleague. Gentlemen, that is leadership. Not only is God watching, your colleagues are watching. They notice these things. It may be funny to, you know, hit on the woman at work or whatever, where you think that's the easy thing. Look, we understand God asks us to do, and oftentimes the difficult thing, the right thing. But the point I want to make is people notice. The leaders who are watching, you notice. Those are leadership, that discipline, that restraint, as Christopher said. People notice. And it will get you a long way in life, frankly, and not to take the steps back, as I've experienced. The married audience, a majority of us, as the apostles Paul says, you know, love your wife, be with her. She is to be loyal to you and you loyal to her. But the reality is for the married folks, the same temptations exist, whether they be with neighbors, whether they be and really it's all around us, distraction and opportunities to step away. Don't do it. Don't do the extra drink. Don't go out with your colleagues. Stay focused. Those levels of restraint, those levels of discipline are leadership. And as I mentioned earlier, the same thing applies to the singles as it is to the marriage. Those things are noticed by your colleagues, by your friends. And as frankly, as leaders, we owe it to ourselves to in fact, keep our friends, keep our leaders, keep our fellow table mates in check if these things come up. See, the leader runs toward the problem. I gave a talk a few weeks ago also on the whole James Merritt book about character still counts, and mine was on courage. And there's a story I left out. It's effectively called the lion story. And when lions hunt, they hunt in packs. There's a alpha lion, and it's the male. And he makes this incredibly loud, scary roar. And the reality all the while behind him is there's a flank for the prey where the females do the kill. And oftentimes through cowardice, the prey backs right into the trap. Leaders step forward to challenges. Leaders walk away from the table when needed in restraint. And the point is leaders go toward the problem. That's what a leader does. So the takeaway here, gentlemen, is what do we do? How do we take these lessons out into the real world? We talk about this at our table all the time. How do we take the teachings of Jesus Christ out into the real world for practical application? And there's really three things I think we can do. And one we do all the time is prayer. When we pray, we often, we thank God. We thank him for his grace. And then we often will talk about some ways, you know, things that we want for our friends, for our loved ones. And that's great. Prayer is number one. The second is the depth and deepening the relationship, that what I'll call talking to him. Talk to him while you're on a walk, while you're working out, while you're driving. I talk to him every day. Just talk to him. Doesn't even have to be in the formality of a prayer. He loves us. Love him back. The depth of the relationship is the second. And the third is the study of his word. The greatest book on earth, the Holy Bible, it's not even a question. Is the answers are there. I like to just jokingly call it the handbook of life. Quit looking elsewhere. You don't need to go to a self-help book. It's right there. And with the glory of the internet, you can even look at whatever you're struggling with and you'll find the word of God to help you. It's there. Prayer, talk to him, develop the relationship, study his word, number three. See, the reality is when you do that, it creates this love, this respect, and ultimately back to the point of wisdom, actually a fear, frankly. And the best way to articulate this or to maybe drive this home is with your parents when we were kids. And oftentimes you do something, maybe step out of line, and you say to your parents, "Are you mad?" And they would say, "No, I'm not mad. I'm disappointed." It actually cut you worse, if you remember. It was worse than being angry. I'm disappointed. See, that is basically saying that one entity loves another, the other entity loves them back. And that became fractured. And therein lies why you snap back. And hopefully it was a small thing, and typically you didn't do it again. But think about when we deepen the relationship, when we pray, we talk to him and we study the word, that's love, that is respect, and that's the fear, that's the relationship, that's the bond, that is the answer to taking this into the real world, to keep us, as Mark talked about last week, on the path, the righteous path, Proverbs 4 that Mark talked about last week. That is a leader. It is often running toward the problem. It's the difficult thing, but it's the right thing. It's why we come here to Friday morning men's fellowship. So lastly, my redemption story is Christopher White brought me to the Lord about a little over 10 years ago, and on a street corner in Midtown after lunch, I declared Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but I wasn't doing the three things the way I am today. In fact, it was about 2 years ago coming to Friday Morning Men's Fellowship that I learned the power of leadership through Christ. And I started praying every day. I started talking to him every day. And the relationship was building. And I started studying the word. I know I can always get better in the word. And certainly Friday Morning Men's Fellowship helps. And I get better every day with it. But those three come together. And it's made my life. I've been married now to my wife, Jennifer, for 7 years. It's made my relationship between her, myself, and my kids. It's never been better. My relationships in my life have never been more fulfilled. Fulfillment. It's also, I'm pretty transparent about my situation. I've never really been in more, frankly, of a financial bind than I am right now. But I have the fulfillment of that relationship. And in other areas, I'm fulfilled. And I'm comforted by the fact that of the two, one of them is way harder to achieve than the other. And I have it. Let us end in prayer. Lord, as we started this talk today, in preparation, we were reminded through Bobby and some others that there are some things immediately that are beyond just this talk and these themes that we talk about. There are people in the audience that need kind of the immediate, and I'm talking to them, and they, I don't need to get into the exact details, but I want you to pray for the men in this group, and everyone has their own issues, and I ask for them to accept the grace of their situations, but also for you to give them, you know, hopefully immediate answers and immediate relief to the degree you can. But I also pray for you to give us the wisdom to accept your offer to know you, to develop a relationship with you, to study your word so that we find wisdom and take that out into the world to follow the righteous path. Amen.